Our reading this morning comes from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Mark, and we read from the 8th chapter, from verse 11 through to verse 21. Mark 8, beginning to read at verse 11. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the east of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of the discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears that fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen. Well, for a short while before the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, dear friends, I'd like to share with you some thoughts on the words that we read earlier in the service from the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel. It always amazes me about the disciples of Jesus. When you think about it, you think these were ordinary fishermen, men who had been called by Jesus to follow him. They left their livelihoods, they left their nets, and they followed this man. This man who must have had quite a dynamic call. This man whose presence even enabled them to make that life-changing decision to follow him. The one thing we can say about each of these disciples is that they were ordinary men, fishermen. They weren't educated, like the shepherds of Bethlehem, you remember, who first heard the message of the Incarnation. They were people who lived in the open air. They worked in the open air. They were dependent on the tides. The shepherds looking after the sheep were aware of the predators who would come to attack the sheep. They were people who were very ordinary in every way. And yet, Jesus called them. He bypassed the righteous, the self-righteous, the religious hierarchy of the day, and he called these ordinary men to follow him. And you see, they were human in so many ways, weren't they? They made so many mistakes. They misunderstood so often. And this particular event here reflects that. They were now in a situation where they were in the boat. They only had one loaf of bread. They were concerned about what they would eat. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you concerned? You saw me feeding 5,000 people. I will provide for you. I will care for you." They'd lost that spiritual dimension, really, of what it meant to be a disciple. You remember that often they thought of themselves as being made into important people who will be first in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus had to speak to them then and tell them that they had to become servants. They had to be those who would follow rather than those who would reign over others. So what do we find here? The mindset. Is that a mindset that we often have in our lives? We live in a strange world, do we not? And we sometimes can be challenged in our faith. Do we trust and believe in the one who was able to calm the waters, to feed the 5,000, to provide for us in our need? They complained that they only had one loaf. What is that among 12 men? It's nothing. It was minimal. And yet Jesus had to remind them that he was the provider he would give to them. We often sing that hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear." Dear friends, you need to remember this morning, or whatever the circumstances of your life, that he is the one who provides. He is the one who will give to you beyond your expectations. God has prepared for us one day that which we cannot conceive this side of glory. And yet for now, when life is tough, we need to know his presence, his friendship, his love. And the one who said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." To be a disciple in this age in which we live in, to be a follower of Jesus Christ in this age is not easy. We are beset around us by a world that has lost its way. I was watching a program on YouTube about the Sabbath, the Sunday in Britain in 1957. I was very small at the time. Yeah. And the gentleman was speaking from the Lord's Day Observance Society, who was to keep an eye on what was going on a Sunday in this land of ours. People shouldn't do anything. Even the chains. Do you remember the swings in People's Park being chained on a Sunday? Yeah. I thought about this young man, this man who was being interviewed at the time. If he came back today, wow, as a nation we've changed. There's no respect for the Lord's Day anymore. It's like every other day. We mustn't be Sabbatarians, mind. Because we must remember that the Lord made the Sunday for refreshment, for renewal, for worship. It should be a different day. But I was thinking how attitudes have changed. I could not thinking this week that terrible decision that was made in the House of Lords. Abortion up to birth. What can we say about that? Where are we going as a nation? What are our priorities? The sanctity of human life seems to be expendable. You know, we do have needs. We do have needs. And like these disciples, you know, sometimes perhaps we expect things and things don't work out as we would want as Christians. Because is it not the society we would want for and would long for, where people would come to know the knowledge of the love of God and the salvation that is in Christ, the way of life that He has ordained for us, where every life is precious and loved, where we care for each other and do not put materialism and ambition on the throne of our hearts? Oh, there's not enough bread, the disciples said. There's not enough bread. Jesus fed the 5,000. There was 12 baskets left over. That's the provision of the grace of God. He will give you all that you will need in this life. He will be at your side in all the trials of your life. And when you put the news on and it's heartbreaking, and we hear what's happening in the world out there, and the wars and rumours of wars, Lord, what's happening, Lord? Don't lose your faith, dear friends. God is still on the throne. God is still in charge. And in the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a living example of how we should live with confidence and hope in Him. If you go downstairs and see the missionary board in the schoolroom, open doors. Christians who have been cruelly persecuted and killed for their faith. Our friends from Nigeria will know that in their land, what's happening out there. But yet, they are holding on. They know that they don't have a loaf of bread. Now they have the abundance of God's care and keeping. And that's what we must remember. He is all sufficient to meet every need. Why are you talking about having bread? Have you not forgotten who is with you in the boat? Him, the one who calms the seas and is providing for all who would come. Jesus goes on there to speak about the yeast of the Pharisees and scribes. He speaks about Herod. These are the Pharisees and Herod. What do we know about Herod? Hardness of heart. Yeah. Herod, the one who destroyed the lives of all little boys in Bethlehem because he was jealous and because his heart was turned by evil. The Pharisees' unbelief, you see. They wouldn't receive Jesus. Do you know, I often wondered. When Jesus came to the synagogue in Nazareth, you remember, he opened the prophecy of Isaiah. And he opened the prophecy and he read the prophetic hope that Isaiah had given to his people. Spoke of the one who would bring relief to the suffering, would set the prisoners free, who would establish the day of the Lord. All those promises. And I can hear the amens. Remember the old deacons years ago saying amen? Let's have an amen this morning. That's right, isn't it? That's the reality of it. The amen. And yet when he said, all this is fulfilled in me. Whoa. What a change of heart. They couldn't believe. They couldn't believe that God had sent the Messiah and the Messiah was in their midst. No. Oh, we have to conform to the religiosity of the law. Could it be a carpenter's son? Joseph the son? They said, who is he? In him did all the fullness of the deity choose to dwell, dear friends. In him and him alone. We have beheld his glory, John says, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is Jesus who stands among us today. As the risen Lord of all creation who is in our midst, these hard people, they could not accept it. Their hearts were closed. They were full of pride, legalism, fear. They needed control. They refused to trust in the God who had, they had known through the law that he would fulfill his promise. They could have seen, they could have known. There was them in their midst, a man called Nicodemus, mind. And Nicodemus comes to the fore in this Lenten season. He met Jesus by night. He wanted to learn more. He wanted to know more. And what did Jesus say to him? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Don't let your Christian life be confined with legalism. Don't allow yourselves to fall into that trap, dear friends. That's what was happening here in this boat. They were, in a sense, the disciples there were trying to formulate in their own framework the understanding of who Jesus was. They'd lost that vision of what he had come to do to save the lost. The Pharisees and Herod refused to trust in God unless it was a God on their terms. Dear friends, we have seen him. The church is here to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. We stand amazed in the presence, I hope, this morning of Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus stands among us in his risen power. You know, we are mostly Baptists here. We'll forgive this Anglican in the front here. You don't need to be a Baptist to go to heaven, but why take a chance? Oh, right, okay. But the reality is we don't need to be Baptist or Anglican or whatever denomination, because we are in him. And Paul says he has broken down the dividing walls of hostility. Ah, wow. What a saviour we have this morning, dear friends. What a Christ is in our midst. Don't confine him. Don't fit him into the framework of your understanding and mine. He'll break every frame. Yes, yes, here it's in ddigon, it's in llawer mwy na'r byd. He is greater than the world. Don't allow legalism, because legalism can cripple the life of a church, dear friends, let me tell you. But let's work within the bonds of the gospel of grace and the church, a community, the welcoming community of God's people. And then, of course, we find, finally, that here we have a realization. Here we have an understanding, not only of that which Jesus was saying, but he asked the question, do you still not understand? Do you still not understand? That's the question he was asking, and that's the theme we share. Do you still not see? Whenever we have something wrong, perhaps mentally or physically, we go and seek help. We go to the doctor, the physician, or someone to help us. And tonight we'll be looking at the Balm of Gilead that speaks more profoundly about the reality of the balm of God's healing. But they've been there. They'd been at the wedding feast of Cana in Galilee. They'd seen the water turn into wine. Yeah. They'd witnessed the woman with the issue of blood just touching the hem of his garment and being wonderfully healed. Bethany. Bethany would follow this, of course. But before this, the miracles of Jesus, the reality of him accepting people like Zacchaeus, the reality of the woman at the well of Samaria. All these things, they had been witness to. I said earlier, they were uneducated. But now they were seeing before their very eyes the reality of God incarnate. We have seen him, dear friends. We have beheld the glory of God in Christ. Believe the word of God. Trust the word of God. Come this Lenten season to a new realization that we need no other than him. And that when life is tough and we look at the news bulletins and our hearts are broken at the suffering and the pain in the world, and we see a society that is fast losing its way, both spiritually and intellectually. Jesus said, do you not see me? Don't you see me? And if you see me, and if you follow me, then you will find that truth that God would give to you. You are a precious child in Christ. You are loved beyond your deserving. God has prepared a place for you in eternity. Now the going's tough. I feed the 5,000. I give the living water to the woman at the well of Samaria. And that's what I give to you. Day by day. The provision of grace. Amazing grace, Newton said, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The reality, the truth of the word of God in the age in which we are living. And that's why we have a mission here in Llanelli, along with our fellow Christians, of making the love of Jesus known at every opportunity. That's why we open on a Wednesday night and welcome those who are on the periphery of society and try and help as much as we can. That's why we support mission. That's why we extend the boundaries of the kingdom of God. We can't do it, but we can hold the rope for others who are doing it. And we can be a community and be people of the Lord who challenge our politicians and the decisions they are making. Yeah, kindly and graciously, but challenge them to come back to the Word of God, where every life is precious, every single child. What can we say? Oh, our hearts break when we think of the society and the world out there. But we have overcome the world, as He has overcome the world. And on Easter Sunday morning, I hope we'll be singing that hymn, "Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. We are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us." Come to this table now, in true faith, and meet with Him here, in remembrance of the One who died and is alive forevermore. Amen.